Yeah, and you just kind of stumbled on something that was really interesting. So I'm a member. One of the masterminds that I'm in every year is called the Genius Network, and I spend $25,000 a year to be a member of the Genius Network. And at an event about 6 months ago, Mike Koenig said, you don't want to get stuck in how pies, and you want to figure out who, not how. So
Well, yeah.
if you're, let's say you're building a home for a second, you're going to build your dream house. You know what you want your dream house to look like. But you don't know how to do electrical and plumbing and hang drywall and hang cabinets and put in flooring and like, fuck, kill me if I know what I want it to look like. I just don't know how to make it happen. And if I worry about how I'm going to build my dream house, it'll never get built. But if I worry about who can build my dream house, I just go find a great contractor. I give them my vision. The contractor takes my vision and draws blueprints, the plans to make my vision come true. I sign off on the plan. He signs off on the vision, and then we give the vision and the plan to the employees, and they recreate our dream.
This is the podcast for people that believe they do not need to change the world. We believe it's all about becoming the most effective version of yourself in the moments in life that matter the most. This is
the Inner Changemaker Podcast. Instead of changing the world, change their world. Changemakers, what's going on, everyone? I hope you're all having an amazing day, an amazing afternoon, amazing night, whenever you are listening to this. I know it's been a little while since we've put out a brand new interview, and this one is special. We have someone who's been a part of not one, not two, but $300 million company. In fact, that is part of his nickname, which we'll get to. And we really broke down in this interview what it takes to not just be a great leader or to be a great CEO, but what it will take to really lead a team, to lead a movement. And it all starts with vision. And the reason I bring this up, and I will cut to the interview in just a few seconds. The reason I bring this up is because I know in our podcast, we have been inconsistent all year, really, with the content that we've been creating. We haven't been doing a great job in terms of painting the vision for you and guiding you along the journey. And I appreciate all the patience and dedication for tuning in each and every single week. And we hope that this interview, in a lot of ways, makes up for it. But later on this week, you'll see an episode where I'm going to be showing you what's going to be happening later on as we move forward with this podcast and with the content that we're creating. And so that's just a little bit of a preview of what's to come. I won't take anything further away from this interview. I'll do an intro for our guests in just a few seconds, but please listen to this, listen to it very carefully. There are some guiding principles in this interview that if you could apply this, it will literally shortcut your path to success, to leading a team, to leading the movement that you want, to ultimately building out the legacy that you deserve and that the people around you deserve. And I hope that you find this valuable. So if you do, please let us know via social. I can't wait to share with you our vision for what's to come. And until then, we'll talk to you very soon. Enjoy. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Inner Changemaker. We are back with another episode where this week we have a pretty stellar guest. My guest, Cameron Harold, used to be the chief operating officer at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. He's also the founder of COO Alliance, the world's only organization for those who are second in command. He recently launched an amazing podcast, which I'm sure we're going to dive into, but he's the author of some amazing books, Double Double, Meetings Suck, as well as The Miracle Morning for Entrepreneurs. Recently launched his new book called Vivid Vision, which is what we're here to talk about, because I found it to be super impactful for my business and my life. And he's also known... There's a couple nicknames here, Cameron. He's also known as the $100 million man, as well as the CEO whisperer. Welcome to the show, Mr. Cameron Harold.
Hey, Jay, thanks for having me. I thought we were going to talk about paint all day. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. We were discussing off record our history with running painting businesses. But, you know, Cameron, I'm super excited that we get a chance to do this. And, you know, I'll kick it off kind of easy, but I'm curious myself. How did you get the nickname the CEO Whisperer?
Yeah, the CEO Whisperer is a moniker that was given to me by the publisher of Forbes magazine, Rich Karlgaard. And I guess he had seen me speak around 6 or 7 times at some big events over the years, and realized that the CEOs that I was coaching were actually larger companies, successful businesses, and started to see some common and realized that I was often behind the scenes whispering in their ear about how to build amazing cultures and fast growth organizations. So he called me that in print one day, and it just kind of stuck, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, the reason, I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous, you know, even doing this interview, because over the last years, whether it was from, you know, my time at Strategic Coach, or whether, you know, interacting with individuals like Jason Gaynard or Yannick Silver, who have both been on the podcast, everybody always mentions Double Double. They always, wow. You know, they mentioned your work. And when I was first starting out, that was one of the first books that I had read, probably way above my head at the time. And I just remember, you know, whenever I get a chance, I'd love to interview Hamrin. So give us maybe a 30,000 foot overview for people that maybe are not familiar with your work or what you've done in the past. You know, who is Cameron?
Sure. So I was really groomed as an entrepreneur. I grew up in Northern Ontario in Canada. I grew up in a small city called Sudbury.
Yeah.
And my father groomed my brother and sister and I all to run our own companies. And my sister now runs a business called the Toronto Sport and Social Club. And my brother runs a business up in Sudbury. And I've run a number of companies. So he groomed us all to be entrepreneurs. When I was 21, I had 12 full-time employees. But I also had a number of little business ventures from probably the time I was 7 until I was 20. In fact, I did a TED talk that's on the main TED.com site about raising kids as entrepreneurs and how I was raised as an entrepreneur. So that was really, I guess, my start. Got involved with a company called College Pro Painters, and just found out, you know, earlier on the show that you were involved in College Works, which was not the bastard child, but the spinoff of College Pro. The two founders of College Works were actually from College Pro Painters. Neil Bradley and Helmut Beeman left and started AAA, and then they split off. So we have a very similar background. And that's where I was really learned. That's where I was trained as an entrepreneur, hardcore. You know, I was doing sales and operations and hiring and firing and people and marketing and production. And when I was 23, I went off and started coaching entrepreneurs for College Pro Painters. So I coached about 120 franchisees over 4 years. Two of the more well-known ones, I hired and trained Kimball Musk, who's Elon's brother. In fact, I was a reference for Elon in his very first round of funding in January of 95 when he was trying to raise money for his first company, Zip2, so prior to even PayPal.
Yeah.
And then his cousin, Peter Reeve, who built SolarCity, was also a franchisee of mine, and I trained him as well. So College Pro is really foundational in all my work. I call it the real world MBA. Mm-hmm. So did that, opened up the West Coast of the United States for College Pro Painters, and then went on and became a small partner in a chain of auto body collision repair shops. And we took that company from, I think it was 7 or 8 locations when I joined, and it was 60 when I left. I led franchise operations, their buying programs, sales and marketing, and was involved, you know, closely with the two partners, the founding partners, to grow that brand. Did some acquisitions for them as well. And then I left and I was hired as the president of a private currency company. And we built out a private currency similar to what Bitcoin would be today. We created a currency 20 years ago. Then we had 30,000 companies using our digital currency instead of the US dollar. So we had Starwood Hotels, Avis Rent-A-Car, Hard Rock Cafe, Bose Stereos, The Rob Report. They all accepted our digital currency instead of the US dollar. We sold that company in January of 2000. And that fall, I joined 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And I came into 1-800-GOT-JUNK as the 14th employee. You know, there were 5 people working in the call center. And when I left 6.5 years later, we had 3,100 employees system wide, and we were operating in 330 cities. So I executed their growth. I was the chief operating officer and really built, I ran everything except IT and finance. Mm-hmm. And then I left there 11 years ago next week and started coaching CEOs and entrepreneurs all over the world. that's kind of been my path. And I teach from a series of I guess, very practical experiences versus from theory, right? I've built companies, so I teach based on that.
And
I've done paid speaking events now in 28 countries on 5 continents.
Nice.
And I will soon cross off my 6th continent. I'm speaking in Peru in November, so that'll be my 6th continent that I'll have spoken on.
You know, Cameron, I'm not surprised that your message and your story is going global. Because, you know, for audiences that maybe have never heard of you or maybe have never read any of your work or followed your story anywhere, I mean, this is the amount of companies and growth and as well as success that comes with it. I'm sure tons of failures as well. But I mean, you know, just the sheer amount of, you know, how much you've done. I'm glad that you went over that because it was so much better than, you know, the introduction earlier in terms of just giving everyone proper context and what we're actually talking about and the importance of what you wrote about your new work, Vivid Vision. But before we dive into that, I know Vivid Vision, I read about it like in Double Double, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Why this book now? Because, you know, Double Double had a lot of success already.
Yeah, so Jim Collins, when he came out with the book Good to Great, talked about your BHAG, your big, hairy, audacious goal, and coming up with a very big long-term stretch for your organization. And the BHAG that I settled on years ago was that I wanted to replace mission statements, which don't work and have never worked. I wanted to replace mission statements with vivid visions worldwide. And I wanted to create a system and codify it so that every company all over the world would finally use something. You know, most companies have core values. Most companies have a core purpose. Most companies have, you know, a mission statement. But the mission statement is that one sentence statement that's supposed to align the team.
Right.
And nobody buys into it and nobody still knows where we're going. So I wanted to codify that. And the best way to do that was to, you know, talk about it from stage and get interviewed about it in the press, but also to put it into a book format so I could help people put theirs in place. And I wanted to give them a really easy to implement system so they could put it in place for their business or their personal life or their family.
For sure, for sure. And so here's the, you know, instead, you know, the $1 million question, but really maybe the $100 billion question is, what is a vivid vision and how is it different maybe than how people, you know, when I first read it, I go, oh, is it a visualization? You know, is it a kind of like a visualization thing? So what is that?
Sure. So in fact, I used to call it a painted picture, and that just got really confusing because people thought it involved pictures or a vision board or drawings. It doesn't at all.
Okay.
So the idea is something that I learned from an Olympic coach back in 1998. And I was invited to, so 20 years ago, a group of entrepreneurs in Vancouver. We were part of the Entrepreneurs Organization. And I've invested in my own personal growth for years. I joined lots of mastermind groups. I participate in mastermind groups. I hire coaches just to keep my skill set growing.
Yeah.
So I was a part of the Entrepreneurs Organization, and we were invited to a lunch. 120 of us were invited to the lunch, and about 16 of us showed up. And we went down to this luncheon, and it was a high-performance sports psychologist talking about how athletes used visualization to see themselves performing the event. And he was trying to teach us that if we could take that idea into the business world, we could win. So the idea was to lean out into the future 3 years.
Yeah.
And visualize what your company looked like 3 years from now, and then take all those ideas out of your head and write them down. So you end up with a 4 or 5 page written description of what your company looks and feels like 3 years in the future. So I can give you an example of one if you want to link in the show notes, but the basic idea is the entrepreneur usually has a pretty clear picture in their mind of what their company looks like. What I want them to do is go somewhere where they're inspired, somewhere around nature, where they can get out of the box a little bit, and they start describing what marketing looks and feels like, what sales looks and feels like, you know, what operations and finance and IT look like 3 years from now.
Yeah.
And they describe the customer experience and what the media's writing about you. They literally describe the company in its finished state 3 years from today. And then they end up with this 5-page codified document that they can pass off to a writer who can make it pop off the page. And then you pass it out to everyone. So you give a copy of it to your employees, your customers, suppliers, your banker, your spouse, potential employees, potential customers. You literally share your vision of the company with the world. And when everyone can see what you want to build and what it looks like, they can figure out how to make it happen for you. So you're not sharing the plans of how you're going to make it happen, but you're sharing a clear vision of what it looks like.
Yeah. And you know, I think this is so, it's really interesting because I think a lot of times entrepreneurs, and this is myself included, we struggle with, you know, getting others to maybe, we struggle for, you know, asking for help. We struggle for, you know, actually, you know, telling people what it is that we actually want, you know, and what, you know, where it is. And sometimes, you know, entrepreneurs will be able to relate to this, which we feel that everyone around us is so stupid or silly for not being able to see kind of where right. we want to go.
But they can't read our mind.
Exactly. And right, so
yeah, that's the purpose of it. And I even talk about a movie called The Sound of Music, where there's a very famous scene where they're having a picnic in the movie. Now, if you've seen the movie, you understand the scene. But if you've never seen the movie, you might think that the picnic is held at a lake with, you know, park benches and picnic benches and the kids playing baseball and croquet.
Sure.
When in fact, if you've seen the movie, you know for sure that it's the Hills Is Alive scene with Julie Andrews playing guitar. The kids are singing and dancing. And the picnic's actually held up in the mountains in the Alps.
Yeah.
So, but if you've never seen the movie, how could you possibly visualize that?
Yeah.
So in the business world, if the only person that sees the future is the entrepreneur, then of course the entrepreneur is going to be frustrated every day. So the idea is to get everyone to see what you can see. And that's what's really resonating with people worldwide now is this, and it's not just since the book came out, but I've been talking about this concept now for 11 years, you know, speaking all over the world on the concept and getting companies to use it.
For sure, for sure. And so, you know, now that you do the exercise, you create, you know, a vivid vision for, you know, what you want your business to be. So now is it about sharing it on a consistent basis with your team members, your contractors, people you come in contact with? Like what's been like kind of the best use of said vivid vision after the fact?
Yeah. So I have it first off on your website. You put it on your website and on the About Us tab so that it talks about the future and explains this is what our company looks like in the future, 3 years from today. We want you to help us make it happen. Then you share it with every employee. You have that, all your employees reread it every quarter at every planning meeting. You have your leadership team read it before every strategic planning meeting. You share it every quarter with your banker, your lawyers, your suppliers. You know, every 6 months to a year, you share it with all of your customers, just reminding them that this is where we're going. This is what it looks like to get them inspired and excited about it. Every time a potential employee applies to work for your company, you ping them right back with an auto reply saying, thanks for your resume. Please read this copy of our vivid vision describing the future of our company. If this sounds like the kind of company you want to fly to the moon, reply now and put interview me in the subject line.
Sure.
So you use it as a filtering process, right? Because some people won't like the future. That's okay. It's the right time for them to leave. Other people will love the idea of the future. That means that they're going to be magnetized towards you.
I love it. I love it. I didn't think I would share this, but it kind of seems very fitting. So to give you maybe some proper context, you know, I don't have a big team whatsoever. I have a couple, you know, contractors and editors that we kind of, you know, outsource, you know, stuff, if I could classify that, out to. But my girlfriend and I, we're both, you know, we're both in the business, even though, you know, we're trying to work on the business, but we're, you know, in the stage we're in, we're in the business. But one of the things that we did, and this is about 9 months ago now, actually, you know, it was on my birthday. She asked me what I wanted to do for my birthday. You know, I went through all the possible options. Did I want to throw a party? Did I want to do a dinner? Did I want to do all? And I ultimately, I didn't want to do any of those things. I actually just wanted to sit down. And it didn't start with business, but it was more on a personal level. I just wanted to, hey, let's just sit down and let's visualize what our life
That's
will
awesome.
Look like. In a few years. I know it sounds really creepy, or not creepy, but I know it sounds kind of really geeky. And I, you know, even though I used to have all, I used to, you know, work at Strategic Coach. So I knew some of the exercises that we can kind of think through. Right.
Yeah.
So we kind of ran through that like informally, you know, so it's like where it is that we want to be, like home bases. But obviously, because we're in the business stuff naturally came up, right? Where you
Sure.
want, you know, where do you want a team, right? Do you want an office? What type of business model you want to have? And I found that after that day, we spent about a day on it, and our communication was so much more aligned, you know?
And richer, because you're actually talking about stuff that's engaging you instead of just talking about the day to day. You're excited about this shared vision of the future that you're building together.
Absolutely. And so then it made it super, and it was just two people, right? Just my girlfriend and I, just two people. And we were able to reverse engineer. We're saying, okay, look, we know we want to be there in 2021 or 2022, right? And so yeah. Where do we have to be this year? You know, what do we have to do this quarter? Right. And so it was, we just did it really informally on, like, you know, kind of like notepads and, you know, a bunch of sticky notes, nothing crazy. But I love the way that you talked about this, having this 4 or 5 pager and then having a writer make it kind of pop off the page and now being this document that you can almost wear as this badge and having this declaration of the future where you're going to.
Well, and people can also hold you accountable to it. They're not only going to be excited, but they'll remind you of it. They'll push you towards it. You know, I have friends that routinely call me based on some old vivid visions that I wrote for my own businesses. And they'll say, hey, I saw that you like to go hiking, you know, or I see that you like to go running, or I see that you like to go skiing, or I see that you like to, like, the amount of people who have said, let's go skiing for a day and we can just hang out. I'm like, awesome, let's go skiing.
Yeah.
Now they end up getting a day with me hanging out, chatting business. And I'm like, great, I'll talk business, but I get to go skiing.
Right.
But if I didn't write that in my vivid vision, they'd probably say, hey, do you want to go for dinner or do you want to go for lunch? You know, all the standard stuff versus, you know, or if I'm traveling, I kind of include my bucket list in my vivid vision. So those kind of components get dragged in there as well.
That's amazing. Now, I know you mentioned you've shared this over the years. You're going global, you know, with the message, especially now with the book. And for people that are listening and watching this, I heavily recommend picking up a copy of Vivid Vision. I love the tagline, a remarkable tool for aligning your business around a shared vision of the future. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. I'm curious, has there ever been misconceptions or assumptions around the Vivid Vision as you've shared this? Because entrepreneurs are now thinking, you know, great, I'm going to have this 4 or 5 pager now, and now I'm going to kind of put it on blast, put people on notice. Has there ever been, I guess, misconceptions around it?
Not so much misconceptions. And by the way, Tucker Max wrote the tagline for the book. He wrote the subtitle for the book for me. There were not really misconceptions, but in 2016, everyone was talking about a 2020 Vivid Vision. So they're doing 4-year Vivid Visions.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
No, it's 3.
Okay.
Right. Or now in 2018, they're doing a 2020. I'm like, look, it's supposed to be a 20. Like, you want 3 years. If it's only 1 or 2 years, it's too close to what you have today. And it's not pulling intention enough.
Yep.
And if it's out past 3 years, it's too far out. It's too far out there for people to really wrap their head around or to feel any urgency. So that's one. A second one is the idea that people tried to make it part of their BHAG. You know, they tried to do a Vivid Vision for like a 30-year goal. That's
right.
Just so far out there. Another one was people tried to do vision boards with it, where you would get the CEO would do a vision board and tell all the employees to see that. But when you see a photo, a picture says 1,000 words. So how do you know what I'm really showing you a photo of, right?
That's true.
You know, like even if you look behind me, you know, what do you see behind me?
Well, like a collage of maybe your family, your friends. I imagine people that.
Right. Well, and all I want you to see is the picture of the guy with the medals, because he's my grandfather of my mom who passed away today.
Yeah.
Right. So, or the collage, which is all of my mom, and I wasn't thinking about the other two, but because you see the whole picture, you see something that's different than what I see.
Yeah.
So that's where people have gone sideways, is creating a vision board for something. What I like is for the employees to take the Vivid Vision and do their own vision board for how they visualize representing it, so that it even comes to more life for them individually.
Yeah.
And then every employee's vision board about the company Vivid Vision is different, but it means so much to them that it inspires them and aligns them. The other one is not sharing it frequently enough. You know, they kind of roll it out and expect it to come true, but it's like a shovel. A shovel doesn't dig a hole, right? You've got to pick up the shovel and use the damn thing. You can't just roll out the Vivid Vision and go, okay, it's going to happen. No, you need to revisit it. You need to talk about it. You need to look at each sentence as a future state and figure out how to make each sentence come true by reverse engineering it.
Mm.
So there's parts to making it happen. And the companies that really follow it, or the individuals that do, really do some huge stuff.
Yeah. I have a question on that, actually, because that brings up a really interesting point. You're writing a vision for something that's 36 months down the line, right? And so now, as an entrepreneur, as a creator, as someone who's listening to this, they go, okay, that's great. They can get really excited over it. But, you know, I think maybe the next thought is, well, I don't have, you know, like, I don't know how to make that vision necessarily come true. Like, is the, for people that, you know, wrote this vivid vision down, for them as a next step, what's kind of, you know, what's kind of the thinking behind the next step? Is it figuring out the how? Is it figuring out the team? Maybe walk me through a little bit behind that. Hey, Changemakers, are you enjoying the episode so far? Now, before we go a bit deeper, I gotta ask, have you been thinking of leveraging podcasts to grow your business? Not sure maybe where to start or scared of wasting time on the wrong things? Well, let me be your guide as I show you the right sequences and steps to be able to launch your very own top-rated show on iTunes, as well as leverage the podcast and your show to build your business. Don't you think it's time that you put a voice behind your products and services? If you were drawn to this show, then I know that it's time that you got working to share your message with the world. Get my podcast creation roadmap for free at www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap. Once again, it's www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap. Now back to the episode.
Yeah, and you just kind of stumbled on something that was really interesting. So I'm a member, one of the masterminds that I'm in every year is called the Genius Network. And I spend $25,000 a year to be a member of the Genius Network. And at an event about 6 months ago, Mike Koenig said, you know, you don't want to get stuck in how pies. And you want to figure out who, not how. So if you're, let's say you're building a home for a second, you're going to build your dream house.
Yeah.
You know what you want your dream house to look like.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know how to do electrical and plumbing and hang drywall and hang cabinets and put in flooring and like, fuck, kill me if I know what I want it to look like. I just don't know how to make it happen. And if I worry about how I'm going to build my dream house, it'll never get built. But if I worry about who can build my dream house, I just go find a great contractor. I give them my vision. The contractor takes my vision and draws blueprints, the plans to make my vision come true. I sign off on the plan. He signs off on the vision, and then we give the vision and the plan to the employees, and they recreate our dream. If you do that in your business, it's the same thing. When you worry about how it's going to come true, you get stuck. But if you just allow yourself to dream and then say, who can help me make it come true? That's when it starts to become a reality, especially if you pick it up and reread it. I'm actually getting mine audio recorded now so I can listen to them in my car once a week, and I can actually listen to my own voice reading my vivid visions to myself.
That is powerful.
I learned that at an event recently on visualization. Somebody talked to me and I was, oh, that's a great idea. So I'm going to get those done as well now.
That's amazing. And just so you, I mean, for me, I love that distinction that you just brought out. It's not about the who, it's not about the how, but it's about the who, right? Because I think the downside of being a quote unquote high performer or anybody who believes they can do it all, right? Especially a lot of times an entrepreneur, you have high capabilities to execute on goals and tasks. Like you're just driven to get things done. I think a lot of entrepreneurs, I know myself, we get stuck right there, which is...
Well, and the school system actually fucked us up. Excuse the language, but the school system actually really hurt us as human beings. And basically, if you think about it this way, from kindergarten until the end of university, we were in school for 16 years, 17 years.
Yeah.
And we were taught that the most powerful kids in school were the ones who could memorize everything and do it by themselves.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to work in a group. You weren't allowed to collaborate. You weren't, even though all the answers were in the textbook, you weren't allowed to use the textbooks. You were taught to memorize everything and not to collaborate, not work together as a team, not to research, not to problem solve as a group. In the business world, the best business people are the ones who cheat. We work together as a group. We look up the answers. We copy the answers from the smart kids. We rip off and duplicate from the smart companies.
Yeah.
So we essentially find all the cheat sheets. So if the school system taught us what the real world needed, which is collaborate, work together as a team, problem solve, look it up on Google, share information, we all would have been better off. So the school system, unfortunately, is stuck in an era when I went to school where there was no Google. You know, when I was in university, no one on my floor in residence had a computer. Right. Out of 67 guys. So we had to be the smart people. But it's unlearning that that's really powerful now. So now what I do is I state my goals. I come up with lists of stuff that needs to get done. And then I'm like, who can I delegate it to? Who can I delegate it to? Who can I do it? Instead of how can I learn this, it's like, who can I get this off my plate to?
And I actually think that entrepreneurs, if we can adopt that type of thinking, we would be able to move so much faster on the big things.
Well, you know? And that's like, I'll go back to the Elon Musk analogy, and I've known him for 24 years. So he had an ability to dream at a very large level.
Okay.
At a level beyond where most people could imagine. So his first company, Zip2, was an online mapping company. Now that makes sense today, online mapping like yep. MapQuest or Google Maps or Apple Maps, right?
Sure.
But in 1995, I didn't have an email address. I didn't know what the internet was. I certainly didn't understand the concept of a newspaper being on the internet because I didn't know what the internet was and why would you put a newspaper there? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to get a map from your computer to a store? That doesn't make any – like we've got maps in the car and I don't even understand this. I was trying to sell them on house painting. I was literally trying to convince Kimball Musk to stay in College Pro Painters, and he's trying to describe the internet to me. So they're thinking at a whole big level. Now, they didn't know how to build it, but they knew what they wanted, and the vision was so big. And then they just said, who's crazy enough to help us make this happen? Mm-hmm. And they got a bunch of crazy people who were really smart to figure out how to build the first online mapping company, which they sold to Compaq for $315 million in cash in 1997.
It's so crazy.
So the lesson here is dream bigger. Do you know why the Tesla Model S has the 7-seat option?
I don't know.
He has 5 children. So if you're going to build a car, it better seat all of his family. Otherwise, why would you design a car that you can't take your kids for a ride in? That's insane. So he said it's got to be super fast, super sexy, just kind of like my McLaren F1.
Yeah.
It's got to fit me. So that's why it works great for tall guys like me at 6'4". He's 6'5". You can sit in a car, tons of legroom, tons of headroom, and I can put all my kids in there. Fucking A. And then he went, who wants to help me build it? You don't have to know how. And as entrepreneurs or as homeowners building a home, when we release from the how pies,
yeah.
It can grow. We can grow really quickly.
I absolutely love this. And,
By the way, sorry. And that's the other reason to involve yourself in mastermind groups and networks is you want to know the people. And if I'm the smartest guy in the room, I'm in the wrong room, but I want to know the people. Yeah. So Joe Polish, who you talked about, is my daily accountability partner. We set our daily goals together. I was texting Jason Gaynard and his wife Candace today, and I'm going to Jason's birthday party at the end of the month in LA. You know, Ty Lopez, I just sent him a text about an hour ago for him to interview me when I'm in LA that day. Like when you get to know these people because you put yourself in the room with them, all of a sudden the answers are right in front of you.
Mm.
So I will invest my money instead of putting my money in the stock market.
Yeah.
I put my money into attending mastermind groups and attending conferences. I go to the main TED conference every year. Like I'm at the main TED conference for 5 days. That's where I talked to Kimball Musk again 2 weeks ago. Like so, and Chip Wilson, Lululemon, we were sitting having kombucha together. So I was talking to Guy Raz from NPR's How I Built This. We talked for 90 minutes, just sat together. So when you put yourself in a room with all these people,
yeah,
everything accelerates, but it's a different way of thinking.
Well, for sure. And that was, you know, one of the kind of follow-up questions, right? Because I love that type of thinking of relationship capital. Right, that's what you're investing in. You're investing into your network, the people around you.
And how can you help them?
Right. How right? can you add value? Right to them. But before I ask you the follow up question, I remember we had Naveen Jain on, who I'm sure you know of or at least heard of. He's a billionaire. He's trying to harvest raw materials.
I know Naveen well. I'm an ambassador for his program for Viome. And I've met him at 3 different masterminds. I'm also interviewing his second in command on our podcast.
That's amazing. So
he's that guy's out of the box, man.
Yeah. Well, it ended up being one of the crazier like podcasts because, you know, you talk to Naveen for like 10 minutes and all of a sudden you're talking about education reform and, you know, the gut microbiomes. And I'm like, holy crap. Like I did not.
You ask one question. He goes 60 minutes.
Yeah. But off the record, and this is something, I don't know if I even shared it in the interview, but he was so cool about this. And he said, hey, Jay, like, tell me just about your business, right? Just like walk me through like all the things that's going on. What's your like biggest problem that you're struggling with? That kind of like that question, right? What's the biggest obstacle that you're facing? And I was walking through all these things that I believed was the main problem. I was like, oh, you know, I need a team. I need this. And all these things. And he said, you know, Jay, the main problem actually isn't, you know, what you think it is, right? It kind of reminds me of like Dan Sullivan saying like, the problem is never the problem. The problem is that you don't know how to think about the problem, right? Yeah. And Naveen said, you know, your problem is that your vision is not big enough and you're not communicating enough to the people around you, yeah, right? And so that put like a pin to the whole conversation. I was like, oh, wow. Like Naveen, like, you know, he's operating, and this is part of why he's so successful and part of like how he was able to get there. Right.
That is the only difference between the people who are extraordinarily successful and the people that are successful and the people that are working hard is they tend to dream at a much, much bigger level and surround themselves with people who can think and operate at that level.
Mm-hmm. So a couple last questions, but one thing just to kind of wrap the whole thing around the relationship capital piece. I love how the distinction of forgetting the how you mentioned the how pies, right? Getting out of that, figuring out the who. But what if for people that are maybe just starting out, maybe they're just a few years in, they want to go to the 25Ks, right? And they want to be at the masterminds and they want to maybe have that network, but maybe they're just starting out. Maybe they don't, right? Maybe they haven't had a chance to do it. How could they surround themselves with the who?
Go sit at coffee shops in your local market where entrepreneurs hang out and have coffee and do your work. Chat with them. Go to meetups.
Yeah.
You know, organize groups of young entrepreneurs on your own and see if they want to go hiking or go for a run. Go to some of the cheaper conferences in your city and get to know the speakers. Here's a hack for you. Any conferences that are happening in your city, the speakers are usually announced in advance on the website that are speaking at the event. Most speakers, I'd say 85% of them, are shy, introverted, and are probably sitting in their hotel room the night before the event by themselves. As soon as they come off the stage, they're swarmed by everyone. Before they go on stage, no one's talking to them because they don't know them yet. Talk to them before they go on stage. Reach out to them a week before and say, hey, do you want to go for dinner? Or would you like to go for a hike? Or, hey, I read that you like, you know, hockey. Do you want to come to a hockey game with me? By the way, anytime Guy Kawasaki's in town, if you're in like any city, if he's in your city, buy two tickets to a hockey game, invite him to come with you. He will say yes every single time to go sit at a hockey game. And now you're sitting beside Guy Kawasaki. If you want to, you know, if you want to go hike with Chip Wilson, he hikes the Grouse Grind 4 days a week. He hikes with whoever wants to go hiking with him, but he goes at 6 a.m. You want to go hike? Go hike. So you just, it's those kinds of things, I think. And then it's also finding masterminds and events that aren't that expensive. You know, the Thrive Conference, I went to that this year. It was extraordinary. They had Ty Lopez, Grant Cardone, myself, Billie Jean. God, who are some of the speakers?
Cole does an amazing job of lining up.
Cole did a great job. Yeah. And it's only like $500 to go to the conference.
Yep.
You know? So, you know, take a little less money on alcohol 1 month and, you know, or do what some of the successful entrepreneurs done, like Kimball Musk and Elon Musk lived in their office for the first year and showered next door at the YMCA. So stop trying to live in your Gen Y condos, like, you know, the same lifestyle your parents did, and maybe scrape up $500 and go surround yourself with those people.
For sure. I mean, I would say, you know, what you talked about, your network being your net worth and relationship capital, it's been the biggest thing. And even having a podcast, that was partially a huge reason why I even started this a few years ago, was to find a way to give value back to the Jason Gaynards and the Yannick Silvers, and to be able to say, hey, let me highlight your message. Let me highlight what you're working on. And it was just a great way to be able to spend some time with them, right?
Yeah.
But it's paid massive dividends, not necessarily because of those two, but because of the people we've interacted with. And it's a huge, huge reason of the reason, you know, the type of guests we have on, the business that we've been able to build. It's hugely because of the network and who you know. And so I think adding your vivid vision on top of that, giving people, you know, entrepreneurs that clarity, it just really arms them, you know, to actually have those great conversations when they do meet those amazing people in their network.
Yeah, it's
for sure.
And everyone who's amazing that you want to meet is just a normal person that woke up this morning. It's probably a 16-year-old trapped in an adult body.
ADD, right? Ideas everywhere.
Yeah, like most speakers are more comfortable on stage than we are in a small group. So go and talk to them because they don't really want to talk to anybody. You know, sure. Or most business people are not as busy as you think they are. They're working hard on stuff, but they want to give back too because someone helped them. You know, at some point, every successful CEO had someone helping them, and they're always willing to give back, especially if you really think about critically what you want help with. You know, I've had people in the past send me an email, hey, can you mentor me? No.
Right.
Hey, can you mentor me about XYZ? Okay, we can have a talk. Or don't make it such a big commitment for me. Say, can I talk to you for 10 minutes about A, B, and C? Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe, right? I had a guy cold call me 6 times, send me text messages and emails. He was 15 years and 11 months old.
Okay.
And then I finally said yes to him.
Yeah.
And he had myself and Gary Vaynerchuk both said yes to him on the same day. His name is Connor Blakely. Connor is now getting paid $10,000 to $25,000 a month as an 18-year-old to teach Sprint, Levi's, Pepsi, Disney, how to market to Generation Z. Mm. But this kid made himself referable. He introduced me to Harvey McKay. How does an 18-year-old introduce me to Harvey McKay? Well, it's because I introduced him to Joe Polish and Joe introduced him to Harvey.
All right.
So there's this whole network of being referable, saying thank you, saying please, respecting people's time, showing up when you say you're going to show up, you know, delivering what you promise. That stuff makes you highly referable.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we want to be able to respect your time. And I mean, we're just so grateful that you got a chance to hang out with us. Have a last couple questions for you, though. And they all have to do with the idea of this, of the podcast, which is choosing legacy over currency. And, you know, you've been a part of, you know, a lot of successful businesses. Your network is clearly world class. How do you see this vivid vision work? Do you see it? Like, how do you see this playing a part in Cameron's legacy?
Well, it is my legacy for sure is partially introducing companies around the world and individuals around the world to a better way to drive towards something. You know, I even have a photo across the room from me right now of the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland. And the famous saying was, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And I want companies to be driving toward that shared vision so that they can be pushing towards that together. And I think it's really powerful. So, yeah, that's a legacy because thousands of companies worldwide are using that, right? Individuals are using them for themselves. People are buying copies of the book for their friends and for their business associates and for, you know, customers to use. That's one. Even the book Meetings Suck, you know, I wrote that for every employee at every company to read because I was so sick and tired of people complaining about meetings. Even Elon the other day was complaining publicly, like, if you're in a bad meeting, leave the meeting. I'm like, no, we should fix the meeting. So I've been sending him 100 copies of Meetings Suck to SpaceX and 100 to Tesla so we can get some of the senior people to actually learn how to run meetings and then teach people how to attend and participate at meetings because you want to solve the root problem. So I'm just trying to give those easy to implement systems.
Yeah.
But that's legacy.
Well, I know I'm so glad you mentioned the books because we're going to link to everything in the show notes as well as you know on the YouTube channel. Is there another place for people to kind of learn more about your work if they do you know want to work with you, especially if they are a CEO or maybe they need a COO in their company?
Yeah, so most of the people that are in our audience are probably going to be best served by the Miracle Morning for Entrepreneurs, Vivid Vision, Meeting Soccer would all be good books for them for sure.
Yeah,
and then. If they're reading Double Double, they would read chapters 1, 2, 4, 6, and 12. Those are the core chapters. 1, 2, 4, 6, and 12 are the core chapters for those.
Did you design it that way? Or
I did. Well, it's not a novel, right? Double Double is a business book with each chapter being kind of its own module.
Yep.
You don't have to read it from front to back. You should read the core parts. And then the COO Alliance is really there for bigger companies. You really need 50 employees and 5 million in revenue to be accepted into the COO Alliance. And it's only for the second in command. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting for that is, you know, they should get their second in command of whatever company they work for to join the COO Alliance.
Yeah.
Because often the entrepreneurs are going somewhere to learn. but we really want the second in command to learn how to grow the company, not the CEO.
Right.
The CEO needs to know what needs to happen. The CEO needs to know how to make it happen.
I love that distinction. For last question, really, for you, because we're going to link to everything once again in the show notes, sure, as well as under the video. The name of the show, Inner Changemaker. So, Cameron, I'm curious, when you hear the word changemaker, is there any images or words? What comes to mind for you?
I think for me, it's just taking accountability for yourself and your own growth and really deciding where you want to go as a human being. So, like, you know, I'm involved in more fitness now. I'm getting into yoga now. I'm doing more meditation. I've got a smudge that I smudge my body with, this Palo Santo in the morning. I've got this daily routine now that I try to practice that grounds me and keeps me focused. I really try to own my own shit. Like, I don't blame others. I try to really be introspective and look for my contribution to the problem. And I think that's part of that self-growth.
Yeah.
It's just being very aware that we really are in control of our entire existence, that everything that we see and perceive is our own thoughts. And so we're in charge of our own happiness, but we're also in charge of our own sadness. We're in charge of our own success. We're also in charge of our own failure. And I think when you accept that kind of stoic kind of feeling, I think that it's pretty powerful. And that's something I've only really learned in the last year or so.
Wow. Well, you know, Cameron, I wanted to take a few seconds and just acknowledge you for being a great example of what a change maker is, you know.
Thank you.
And being, you know, not just with all the business success, but clearly with some of the principles that you have, you know, whether it's business related or in your life. And I think, you know, there was definitely for me personally, there was a couple breakthroughs here. And so for anybody that's watching this, that's listening to this, if you had any great ideas or feedbacks, please let us know through social, because I know it will mean a lot to Cameron. It means a lot to me as well. So Cameron, once again, thank you.
One thing we did miss was the podcast that I just launched about 6 weeks ago called the Second in Command podcast.
That's correct.
And the only reason I want to mention that is everyone interviews the entrepreneur. I want the rest of the story.
Yeah.
So when we're interviewing, you know, anyone, so if there's any good companies that you want to hear the chief behind the chief, but it's the Second in Command podcast on iTunes is another place that they could get some good information too.
You have some good episodes. I was taking a listen earlier with Harley. I was listening to that one with Shopify.
Yeah, from Shopify. Yep. Yeah. I'm actually interviewing in about 5 minutes. I'm interviewing the COO from Influensive.
Okay.
You know, John Hall's Influensive.
Yeah.
They're, so I'm interviewing their Second in Command in 7 minutes for the COO podcast. I've got the COO of Bumble coming on. I've got Naveen Jain, COO. So yeah, we've got a bunch of good ones.
That's a really, really cool. I saw that because I know we had this booked for a while, but I saw you because Jason posted that you had finally launched one. And I was literally out with Kirsten Ross and I showed it to her on my phone. And then she took a picture of it. I think she sent it to you or something like that.
Right. And she's like, I know that guy. Yeah. And Kirsten and I met at a mastermind event called Baby Bathwater.
That's correct.
So that's, again, another reason why you invest in your growth is to be around these other entrepreneurs. You and I would never have met had it not been for me being at another mastermind group.
That's true. That's true. Right. And then someone's listening to this right now, and I guarantee you they're going to implement this Vivid Vision stuff. And you never know what could come out of it. So.
It's awesome. Jay, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Cameron, appreciate you. We'll talk to you later, man.
Hey, bye. See ya.
Want to discover how you can begin to tap into your inner changemaker and become the leader for the important people around you? You can now grab a copy of my new audio training, How to Be the Leader You Truly Are, for free at www.theinnerchangemaker.com/leadership. Inside the training, you will find my top 3 proven strategies from millionaires and billionaires that have been featured on the show. And by simply applying them, I was able to go from sleeping in my parents' living room to leading and running multiple successful businesses and began an endless journey of impacting those closest to me. You can do it too. Go to www.theinnerchangemaker.com/leadership to get your free copy now.